Blog
Conservative Party Radio. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
And we're going to talk about pirates.
Oh, thought I recognized that music.
Pirates.
Yeah.
Because
but probably,
pirates are active.
Yes. Extreme.
Bill, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm standing out here in my front yard and I'm being snowed on.
It was almost 60 degrees today, and I was outside in T-shirt and shorts.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
such turnarounds in the world.
Yeah, I know.
Must be
that's
global
a, that's
cooling.
That's okay. You'll,
warming.
Get your, you'll get your share of global warming soon, because it's passing by me, so it's headed for you.
Must be 70 degrees here on Friday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
God, you aren't going to know what to do.
Oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm going to do. For Christmas, I got a new golf bag.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
Now you have to see if your golf clubs will fit in there.
Oh, my golf clubs do fit in there.
Oh, they do?
Already been tested.
Aha! All
but
right.
This is a double shoulder strap bag.
Okay.
So, I've always carried my own clubs. I mean, there are times when I use a cart and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like, when I play golf, to walk the course.
Sure.
And generally that means I like carrying my bag. My bag has always been a canvas bag, but light enough to be comfortable to walk around with for a couple of hours.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I managed to go through two bags last year. My canvas bag finally gave up the ghost after about 10 years.
Oh, gosh.
And then I used, Victoria had a nylon bag, which I think it actually lasted me about 8 rounds, and that was about it.
Oh. Hmm.
So, I'm a little
okay.
hard on my bag, I guess.
Yeah, you must be.
Anyway, they got me a double shoulder strap canvas bag for Christmas, so I'm going to give it a shot. I kind of like the idea of a double strap. But, you know, carrying a golf bag on your shoulder, balanced, you know, part
mm-hmm.
of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the game.
That's right.
So that's what I'm planning on doing on Friday afternoon. I'll go play 9 holes. I'll go walk a 9-hole course. See
well,
how much pain I can be in by Saturday.
Here and saying, those weeds are pretty tall. So I think I probably know what I'm doing.
No,
yeah, well.
We won't have any grass cutting here for about another month.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, about another month. The grass is just beginning to start turning green, so got a ways to go before we have to worry too much about cutting grass.
Okay, well, I'm not volunteering to come out, so that's okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's all right, so we've talked about pirates. Let's get right into it. Today.
You betcha.
And this is gonna surprise you because it's not what you think it is.
Okay.
Today, or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. No, what day is today? Today's Tuesday. So it was yesterday.
Yep.
Yesterday, Goldman Sachs reported a $12 billion profit for the first quarter. Congratulations,
oh, now,
Goldman Sachs.
Isn't that just wonderful?
Almost makes you wonder exactly why do they need to be bailed out?
Oh, that thought would cross my mind, yes.
But then there's a whole lot of people discussing exactly how they made their $12 billion profit.
And there has been some discussion about that.
And it appears that there are two things in play here. The first one you may be aware of. The second one you may not be aware of. But Goldman is a counterparty to our favorite whipping boy, AIG.
Yes, they are.
And it appears that Goldman got settled on its AIG positions at, believe it or not, pay attention, 100%. Par value.
Really?
Isn't that great? Isn't that nice when you have friends paying you back at par value for crap?
Yeah. I'm Christmas in April, for gosh sake.
And you have to wonder how AIG could be so generous. What gave them so much profit that they could share it with Goldman? Wait a second. AIG didn't have any profit last quarter, did it?
No, they didn't.
Hmm.
I recall seeing that. Hmm.
I kind of recall that AIG got like a whole shitload of taxpayer money.
You know, I recall some news stories about that.
I don't know where that money went. Do you know where that money went?
Let me take this wild, uninformed guess. Maybe some of it went to Goldman.
Maybe.
Could have been.
Pirates.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Now, the other thing you may not be aware of is that people are going to wonder how Goldman managed to, have all this profit when they were reporting just late last year, all these multi-billion-dollar write-offs.
Yes. Which
That's
translated
a
to
turnaround.
Losses. Yes.
That's a hell of a turnaround.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that Goldman was on a fiscal reporting calendar last year.
Uh-huh.
That ended in November.
Okay.
And the reason it ended in November, they decided that that was not consistent with their business model, so they wanted to switch to a calendar reporting method, starting with, of course, the first quarter this year. Now, when you think about it, their annual ended in November of 2008,
mm-hmm.
and their calendar started in January of 2009.
Oh, my
goodness. I would suggest that there is a missing month there in their reporting.
I wonder what the numbers for that month would have been.
I wonder what those numbers would have been. Now, the question will be, can Citigroup pull off a similar accounting miracle?
Ooh.
We shall know very soon.
Yes, we shall.
Very, very soon. All right.
You know, the other part about that is they have to get permission to do that.
Well,
I mean, they can't just willy-nilly change their accounting period.
Oh, yes. Well, that's true. They can't just do that.
Yeah.
But that,
IRS.
That approval probably came considerably long time ago.
Ah, okay.
I would suggest that approval probably came months and months, if not a year or so ago.
Interesting.
So I would assume that they didn't decide on Thanksgiving. You know, if we switch, we'll be able to write all this stuff off in December and not have to report it. I don't think that happened.
Okay.
Personally, myself. Actually, we do have two topics to cover with the pirates.
Yeah. Yep.
So I kind of surprised everybody with the idea of AIG and Goldman being our first pirates, because, of course, those are on our shores.
Yes, those are our domestic pirates.
Those are our domestic pirates.
Yes.
In the meantime, we have the Barbary Coast has re-risen.
Yes.
This has been an issue that has been outstanding for about the last
200.
It kind of hit into my point of view about 2 years ago, I think.
Uh-huh.
Probably sometime in early 08 or late 07 is probably when I started paying attention to the fact that this was going on and wondering why nobody was doing anything about it.
Yeah, seeing as how they were hijacking some pretty valuable cargoes.
But you have to obviously from a business point of view, if you just pay off $2 million, just write it off as insurance and go on your merry way. Might not be such of a big deal when you're talking about cargo that might be worth $50 or $60 million.
Mm-hmm.
A ship worth, hundreds of millions in the
mm-hmm.
case of a Saudi supertanker.
Ah, yes.
So paying off a ransom is probably the cheapest way of doing it from a business point of view, but the question has to arise, how often are you going to do that, and you know, for how long are you going to do that before it actually begins to be a problem? Having to do it once or twice a year might be a problem, you know, for a smaller shipping firm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Saudis probably could tolerate it once or twice a month.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're going to want to.
No.
And, of course, most of those ships are flagged in countries that have a navy that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Except for in those ships. So they're not exactly going to have convoys. Convoys. No, it's not a convoy. It's what is it? What do they call it? Shipping convoy.
I don't know where you're going with that one.
I don't know. What do they call a whole lot line of ships running together?
That's a convoy.
Is it a convoy?
That's a convoy.
Convoy?
Yeah,
okay.
That's a convoy.
Yeah, okay. I just small brain fart there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Didn't sound right.
Didn't sound okay.
So now the pirates were stupid. They took an American flagged ship and got
with the American Navy just being in the vicinity.
Not enough of in the vicinity. 325 miles away is what
I believe.
Yeah,
it took them a day steaming to get there, sure.
So, but, you know, I do have to wonder, you know, people say you can't have the Navy patrolling the Somali shore because it's so big. And I'm thinking, you know, why not put two aircraft carriers about, 250 miles apart?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can probably cover the entire coastline with two carriers, 250 miles apart, and then, you know, no part of the Somali coast is more than 10 minutes by plane.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That'd work.
You know, and in 10 minutes, a ship could say, hey, we've got boats approaching, you know, in 10 minutes you could have a plane on station, or less.
Yes.
Because they don't necessarily, you could have them up on a regular basis patrolling when ships enter the zone.
Exactly.
Do we want to spend that kind of money? I can pretty much tell you that pirates are going to learn a rather serious lesson if they keep losing boats.
Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will.
Probably wouldn't have them to be done for more than about 6 months.
I wouldn't think. At least as far as our flag carriers are concerned.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense to me. But the question is, we are very happy about the result of the situation over the weekend.
What a fantastic job those SEALs did.
So the question has, and lots of people are giving all high fives and attaboys to President Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you know what? Here's what I have to say.
Okay.
I agree with a few others, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When things go right, he gets kudos. When things go wrong, he gets slammed. So I'm not kind of willing to slam him for things that go right, even if I know deep down that the first response he had when he found out that the pirates had been killed was, ah, shit!
Until somebody
said, this is good for you. And then he went, huh?
Yeah.
So, and then it got political after that. I just have to say, Commander-in-Chief, your troops did a good job.
Okay. Now, I'll go along with that one. See, my problem with that whole shtick is this. His first reaction was not to say, Navy, take care of this problem. His first reaction was to say, how soon can we get the negotiators out there?
I agree with most people that my negotiation would have been, as soon as the cruiser got on station, was release your hostage or drowned.
Yep.
You have 5 minutes to comply.
Yep.
And that would have been, my next transmission would have been 4 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There would have been no other discussion, no other thing, and, you know, putting a big old cruiser sitting on top of that lifeboat, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we're talking about a 28-foot boat up against a, what, 100-and-some-odd-foot cruiser. I'm sorry. That just doesn't compute. You know, the other thing about that is, I mean, because there's two ways to approach it. There's that way. I like that way. The other way is you wait until dark, you unload your seals, you go out, you put a hole in the bottom of that boat, and while they're busy scrambling around trying to save themselves, and I'm not sure that they're going to be carrying the AK-47, you pop them off, get the captain, and away you go. So,
right.
You know.
You're right.
The end result is the same.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of talk.
No, not in those kind of situations.
It's always been my point of view, and this happens in the movies all the time. You know, the bad guy wants to have a conversation with you before he kills you.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
Real bad guys just go boom.
Yep.
No conversation.
That's right.
That's kind of how I think we should be approaching Somali pirates.
Exactly.
Well, our cruiser is on the way. When it gets there, you're dead.
Exactly. I mean, it is what we did 200 years ago, and guess what? We didn't have a problem for 195 years.
Right.
You know, what's hard to understand here?
And the last thing you're going to have is a whole bunch of Somali pirates going, we're going to get revenge with any American or French. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you and what navy?
That's exactly right.
All right, so
yep,
we have the question of the day is,
yes,
does this result, the resolution of the hijacking and the captain hostage taking and the pirates dying, indicate that Barack Obama has some cojones, or does this just mean that you got lucky today?
Well, I can tell you my personal opinion. I think he got lucky. The jury is out on whether he recognizes how lucky he got and will alter his future behavior based on that.
It has been my experience that when stupid people get lucky,
mm-hmm.
they don't stop being stupid.
Well, in that case, the next time that this happens, we may not be as lucky.
Or at least the people that are on the scene won't be.
Well, but they're us also.
They are us. I agree.
They are us.
Okay, so, pirates.
Pirates.
We either have to deal with them or deal with them. And frankly,
mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in dealing with them.
Nope. Not a bit. I mean, what? They took three more ships yesterday, today?
Four. Four is the
Four.
Word I heard.
Yeah.
So obviously, they're not exactly put off by this.
They are not fast learners.
They're not fast learners.
Or they may be saying, okay, we got negotiators last time. It was just a bad bit of luck that that we didn't succeed in that, so let's try this one again. Now, I don't know the flags that those ships were sailing under. And as much as it surprises me to say it, I hope they're French.
Yeah, there is some suggestion that they actually have a little bit of cojones going on.
Yeah.
Sarkozy seems to have decided that he's not going to be placated too easily by talking.
Nope. Sounds like he's ready to put his people in there. And yes, absolutely regrettable that one of the hostages got killed. That is horrible. On the other hand, if he does that once or twice more, my guess is you're going to see a very big decline in the number of French flag ships that get pirated.
You know, I agree. I think what you need to do is you need to show strength, and the strength will help to minimize, you know, future problems.
Yep.
This suggests that Americans have gotten a little bit of strength. I do hope that it encourages Barack Obama to, you know, act from a position of strength. We will have to see whether that applies in the future or not.
Yes, we will.
And to the people on the right that are quite sarcastically pointing out that all this did was to, you know, create promotional videos for new pirates.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the snark. I understand, you know, the sarcasm. But I like puns.
Yeah.
So, you know, step it up a little bit. You know, snarky is, this particular point of view, snark is pretty juvenile in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we've decided that we're going to withhold opinion, but give him a slight nod in his direction.
Yep.
Not a Saudi bow, just
a slight nod.
slight inclination of the chin.
Yeah.
To the left and down. All right. So, we have dealt with AIG and Goldman Sachs and the economy, and
you know, the one thing we didn't say about AIG and Goldman Sachs,
yes,
and you and I had talked about it a little bit earlier, was that with a $9 or $12 billion profit?
I think was the number.
Yeah. So, but they got $17 billion from AIG.
The numbers I saw was the AIG parceled out about $17 billion to Goldman.
AIG did. Okay. So we all of a sudden, and they're only showing a $12 billion profit, so you got $17 billion from 12, so you got $5 billion that's kind of floating out there someplace. And how much did Goldman get from the feds in the TARP deal?
I believe they were one of the $25 billion people.
Uh-huh. So all of a sudden we've got about $30 billion that isn't accounted for there.
Oh, well, no. They gave out bonuses.
Oh, I see. I think what I'm saying is, yeah, Goldman, you know, you can talk about your $12 billion, but, you know, you guys have got a whole lot of money that you aren't talking about that should have shown up on your bottom line and didn't.
Well, you know, counterparties work in multiple directions, so who's to say where
that's
other
true.
Stuff went to?
Yep, that's true. They could have paid some of that out.
Yes, they did. So I think that's possible.
Did.
Yes, let's
indeed.
Talk about, speaking
okay.
about pirates.
Yes.
Apparently, Department of Homeland Security thinks that you and I are potential pirates, Bill.
You know what? I was incensed. I first picked up on that yesterday via Michelle Malkin. And so I went to the link and I read that DHS piece of crap. And I have read others, and before everybody jumps on my case, yes, DHS has specifically called out specific groups, such as ALF and ELF, on specific instances. And they have backed that up with specific facts. In this particular case, they have got a lot of weasel words in that report. A lot of coulds and mays.
Might.
And it is possible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could
a
be.
Lot of those. But it all comes down to this. They have said anybody who is for limited government, anybody who is a single-issue person, such as abortion rights, such as taxation and levels thereof. Anybody that espouses limited government is possibly a right-wing militia wingnut terrorist. And I read that and I said, wait a minute. You're saying George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Daniel Webster, Benjamin Franklin were right-wing nut job terrorists? Give
absolutely. Positively. Don't you understand that?
I'm sorry. My feeble little brain can't get around that one. It just absolutely infuriates me. And the other thing that I noted about this is they specifically reference the run-up to the election, the historic election of an African-American, and they're saying that this report was in the works for a year. Excuse me, it hasn't been a year since all of that happened. So don't tell me that you're specifically mentioning that and saying, oh, well, we've had this report in the works for quite some time, more than a year. You don't do those kinds of reports based on specific historical incidents and then tell me that you had started working on them before those historical incidents happened. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that.
Look, the vast majority of people on the right think that Barack Obama is a moron. You know, how much of a threat is a moron?
Yeah, because well,
now, we agree
we may find
that
out.
He is a threat to the country in as much as, you know, even morons can drive a car off the road. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I do agree with you that it is a vile little piece of work.
Yep.
It is certainly designed, given its leaking at this point, to suggest that the millions of people that are going to be out and about tomorrow are potential terrorists,
yep.
Fanatics,
yep.
You know, right-wing nutcases, anti-government, you know,
absolutely.
Terrorists.
Yep.
It is a way to try to marginalize the vast majority of us that are going to go out tomorrow. And
oh, yeah.
On that attempt alone, Obama and DHS should be called out on it.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't expect the media to do so. However, I did read that the American Legion has done so.
Yes, they have, to their credit.
Calling them to disavow that particular piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is, a piece of crap.
Absolutely.
And that's what we should call it, a piece of crap.
Yes. Yes.
It is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
You know? And I
words
just
have
know,
meanings. Let's just make sure that it's all going to work there.
So, we had a question. I don't know if you saw it, a Twitter question. Are pirates right-wing or left-wing extremists?
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes. I suggest that they are left-wing because they take from the rich and give to the poor.
Ah, yes, the old Robin Hood thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I did hear, and I don't know if this is true or not, I did hear that the ship that they took was, in fact, bringing food aid to Somalia.
Yes, relief.
Morons?
Exactly. Gee, I mean, we were going to deliver it there, folks. What was your problem?
Well, it wasn't rich enough for them.
Ah, I see. Actually, it is, oh, we want the power of the control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. There are two things. We're going to Thank you. do this.
Don't spend my grandson's paycheck. He's only 2 years old. With Obama in the White House, his future's bought and sold. Stop this immoral spending spree. Stop assaulting our liberty. Let me help you comprehend. It ain't your money to spend.
Boy, do I love that song.
Tomorrow's the day.
It's the day, folks.
Tea parties all over the country.
Yep.
Virtually every major city is going to have them.
Yep.
In some cases, they're going to have multiples.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be literally millions of people out and about. And there are going to be some crazies.
Yes, there are.
Please
yep.
pay attention to the fact that they're crazies and try to be polite in your ostracization of them.
Yes.
Very
good.
And that includes the left-wing nuts that are going to try and, you know, spread all kinds of crap. But
oh,
it
yeah.
also includes the vast white-wing nuts that are going to come out of the woodwork, you know, supporting the abolition of the government,
getting rid of all taxes.
You know, look, for the most part, tea parties are predicated on the simple fact that the government has royally overstepped its bounds. It is spending way too much money,
yes,
our money, to do stuff that it's not supposed to be doing, and we're done.
Yes.
Stick a fork in us, roll us over,
yep.
This is ridiculous,
yep.
We're done, time to pay attention to the fact you've gone too far.
As the saying goes, we're mad as hell and we aren't going to take it anymore.
Well, we're as mad as hell and we want you to know it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm lucky. I get to go to two of them tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a note we're having in Redding, California. There's going to be two tea parties in a little bitty city of about 80,000 people. And they overlap enough that I can be at one, and then I can go to the other.
All right.
Yeah.
Have fun. Take pictures.
Oh, I'm going to. Taking my camera, got the batteries charging up and all that kind of good stuff. This is one of the times that I regret not getting one of those BlackBerry types or iPhone type of cell phones so that I could twit pictures. As it's happening. But unfortunately, I can't do that. So, oh well.
I will have camera. I will take some pictures. I've tried to decide, you know, how much I'm going to do with regard to flyers and cards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm thinking I'm going to do, and this is actually not a lazy thing, I'm going to see how many other groups I can network into.
Yes.
And,
yep.
you know, see how much, you know, I can deal from that point of view rather than trying to yank people into ACP and, you know, get them to start looking at us. I want to
yep.
say, hey, you know, you might have some points of view. I want to find out about them, and, you know, we'll
mm-hmm.
go from that point of view.
I mean, you know, folks, I'm for our listeners, this is all about coalition building. I mean, tomorrow we get to send a message to the politicians that your behavior is not acceptable. But while we're there, we need to talk to one another. We need to say, you know what, we're on the same wavelength. And where are the places that we agree? And let's work on those places.
Right, and my thing was I could stand in one spot, hand out things, or I could work the crowd. And I think
yep.
From my point of view, doing that is probably going to be more beneficial than the other way around.
Yep. I mean, I'm going to have some handouts, but I'm betting that I'm probably going to come back with most of them. Not from the standpoint of I don't want to give them out, but from the standpoint of as I talk to people, we're going to agree on things, and those are the things that we're going to concentrate on. there is plenty enough time once we're talking to each other and we've exchanged Twitter names and all of that kind of stuff, there's plenty of time to say, you know, you might want to take a look at this. But that doesn't have to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, we just need to introduce ourselves. We need to say, you know what? We're here for the same thing. And once that happens, and everybody recognizes that, yeah, we are here for the same thing, then you can start talking about, hey, look at this over here. Look at that over there. This is a good thing, folks, and we need to take advantage of it.
I have every intention of doing just that for 2 hours
yep.
tomorrow between 11 and 1 o'clock here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, hey.
they are expecting well north of 10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Here in the land of progressives, here
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco of the Midwest, here on
yep.
Moscow on Mendota.
Aha, yes, okay, I like
so,
that.
We have many things that are going to be going on. There'll be a lot of people doing it, and we shall see.
Yes, we
now, will. I'm not going to get away from the tea parties here, because you raised something that kind of segues into something that
cool.
I want to spend a fair amount of time on tonight, because
excellent.
It changed my worldview in one particular area, and I want to talk about it a little bit. Because
okay, let's do that.
It may have an ability to change somebody else's. Reading from Thomas Paine. The French Constitution hath abolished or renounced toleration and intoleration also, and hath established universal right of conscience. This is the key phrase. Toleration is not the opposite of intolerance, but is the counterfeit of it. Both are despotisms. The one assumes to itself the right of withholding liberty of conscience, the other of granting it. The one is the Pope armed with fire and faggot, and the other is the Pope selling and granting indulgences. The former is church and state, the latter is church and traffic. But toleration may be viewed in a much stronger light. Man worships not himself, but his Maker, and the liberty of conscience which he claims is not for the service of himself, but of his God. In this case, therefore, we must necessarily have the associated idea of two beings. The mortal who renders the worship, and the immortal being who is worshipped. Toleration, therefore, places itself not between man and man, nor between church and church, nor between one denomination of religion and another, but between God and man. Between the being who worships and the being who is worshipped, and by the same act of assumed authority by which it tolerates man to pay his worship, it presumptuously and blasphemously sets itself up to tolerate the Almighty to receive it.
Wow.
This bothered the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
I wanted to defend the idea that I am a tolerant person of other religions. And Paine is saying that my tolerance is blasphemy. My tolerance is usurps the other religion's right to their worship. And I didn't understand that. I couldn't grasp the idea that my tolerance was such a horrible thing. But I spent some time thinking about it. Is it possible for people to be tolerant, and that tolerance is a granting of somebody's right by myself? In other words, Bill,
yeah.
Let's assume that you are Jewish.
Okay.
If I tolerate your Jewish religion, am I saying, well, it's wrong, but I'll let you do it? That's what Paine is saying, that's what tolerance is, that it's me saying, well, I'll let you do it. I find that offensive. But once I consider the possibility that, in fact, that is a possibility, I kind of got taken aback. Because isn't that what the left does when it says that it tolerates other groups? It's not saying that it accepts as equals those other groups. It is saying, well, you're not that good, but we'll let you join.
Yes. And it strikes me that there may be two different kinds of tolerance. There is a tolerance that we just talked about. Well, you're wrong, but it's okay. You can believe that if you want to, you big dummy. And then there is a tolerance of, I disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And that, to me, is a different kind of tolerance.
Here is, I would have, if we had had this conversation before I had read that, I'd agree with you.
Okay.
Because I've used that phrase before.
Yes.
I disagree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to have that position.
Yes.
Okay. Now, why should I have to defend to the death you having your position?
Are you saying that you
cannot defend your position, that you need me to defend your position because it is undefensible without it?
Oh, I don't think that's what that's saying.
I don't
think that what that says is I will defend your position for you. What it says is I will defend your right to state your position.
Hold your position.
Yeah.
Espouse your position.
Yes.
Promote your position.
Yep. Even though I disagree with it. And that's why I think there are two different, we talk about two different kinds of tolerance. I mean, I get absolutely incensed when somebody on the left says and preaches, oh, we have to be tolerant. Now, usually when they're saying that, they are referring to somebody who is conservative saying, here is what I believe. And they turn around and say, well, we have to be tolerant of these things that you don't believe in. You will note, I hope, at least I hope that everybody who hears us understands that only applies if you agree with them. Case in point, how many of you have heard of now chastising the Muslim faith for their Sharia law that allows somebody to flog a teenage girl because she stepped out of the house with someone who was not her husband? Anybody ever heard anything about that? Anybody ever heard now say, hey, that's wrong, you guys ought to quit that? I haven't.
As a matter of fact, no.
How many have heard the ACLU say, you know what, Saudi Arabia, you guys really ought not to be hanging those homosexuals? I've never heard the ACLU speak up about that. I mean, it is in fact a double standard. If you agree with us, then we will be tolerant. And that's that paternal tolerance that says, if you're a parent to your kid, Oh, yeah, go ahead. Strew your toys all over the place. I'm going to ignore that for now. We will pick them up later. Versus the tolerance that is shown by somebody saying, I absolutely disagree with what you're saying. I will defend to the death anybody that tries to prevent you from saying that. Two different things.
The problem I had the weekend is, you know those little puzzles where it's the silhouette or things are two different colors and you don't see the flip side?
Yep.
And then once you see the flip side, you can't not see it anymore?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's my problem with this, is that once I started to look at the possibility that being tolerant or using tolerance as a assent to a right, as giving my permission to you to behave the way you are, I find myself in the point of view that much of my tolerance can be construed that way. And I don't believe that it's meant to be that way, but I can certainly now see that it could be taken that way. And that's just frankly driving me a little crazy, because I want to be able to suggest to people that while I don't agree with them, I think that they certainly have the right to have that position, without saying, well, you have my permission to have that permission.
Tracy, I don't know. It may be a matter of semantics. I am comfortable in my own skin saying I don't agree with you, but you have an absolute right to hold that opinion. And nobody has or should have the right to deny you that opinion. Doesn't mean I agree with you. And to me, it's more like when we talked earlier about seeing a picture and then seeing its reverse, I was thinking of some of the pictures that I've seen that have got hidden things in them, or that you have to focus on at a kind of a specific distance, and it looks like it looks like an encrypted file. Nothing makes sense in it until finally your eyes hit the right focus point and you see it. And once you do, you can always see it, just as you suggest. But what I'm suggesting is that I think we're talking about two different pictures. There's one picture, as you suggest, that says tolerance is a blasphemy, and it is only the mirror image of intolerance, and it is a permissive thing. And I'm saying, yes, I can see that in that picture. But here's another picture over here that depicts something else. And that's the one that I refer to as a different kind of tolerance. It's the tolerance that says, I will defend unto my death your right to hold that opinion, even when I don't agree with it. And to me those are two different things.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think I understand, and maybe there's a way that I can use an old phrase that would probably kind of resolve it for me a little bit.
Okay.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. If, in fact, I accept that point of view, and of course I do,
yep,
then your positions are not only acceptable to me, whether they're in agreement with me or not, they are equivalent to my positions, whether they agree with me or not.
I think that could get carried too far, but yeah, on the broad general strokes, I can agree with that.
I agree. You end up with somebody arguing that, well, you know, there has to be some kind of rules about rights, because if rights are whatever you want them to be, then, well, everybody could have all the rights they want no matter what. And, of course, my response is, there is an infinite number of rights, and they are yours for the exercising thereof, and what's the problem? And of course, the response is, well, that's chaos. And my answer is, only if you do not respect that the infinite amount of rights you have are matched and equivalent to the infinite number of rights that I have.
Okay.
And those sets of rights, to the extent that they are not shared, do not overlap.
Okay.
So I'm of the mind, yes, I agree, that you could take that position very far, and people would, because they'll say, well, you know, if sex is okay, then sex with a 2-year-old is okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, that position is not the equivalent to my position. And you're a moron for bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if I need to explain why you're a moron, then, well, you're a stupid moron, too.
But just like the picture where there's a reverse image, and then once you see the other image, you can't unsee it. Once the issue is brought up, you in fact have to deal with it.
And that was my problem over the weekend.
Yep.
Is that this idea that tolerance is a bad thing threw me for a loop. You know, it is, I think, at its heart, the fundamental problem we have with quote-unquote constitutional scholars. They have to say, well, what was the original intent? What was the original meaning? And so many things of what we deal with today do not mean what they meant 250 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. But
go ahead.
The genius to me of our Constitution is that in very few instances did it deal with specific behaviors. I mean, there's really only one crime that's outlined in the Constitution, and that's treason. That's the only crime that's outlined. What it dealt with was relationships. And for all of our vaunted progress in our 21st century whatevers, people are still people. We still react the same way to things that happen. We still react the same way to greed and avarice. We still react the same way to things that are patently unfair.
Or absurd.
Or absurd. We still react as people have reacted from the time we were people. And that, to me, was the genius of the Constitution. It said, here's how we're going to define the relationships, and here's how we're going to disperse the power so that no one lever can control the other one. Now, we've gotten away from that, frankly. to our detriment, I believe. And that's a shame. Because I think they had it right.
There is... I agree. We have created a situation where... I've said this in the past. Government is and should always be the servant of the people.
Absolutely.
It has become, in too many places, master.
Yes.
And in too many places, willingly conceded so.
Yes.
Which drives me absolutely crazy, but at the same time, I recognize that there is a large segment of the population that would much rather be taken care of than to take responsibility.
You know, there's a current illustration of that. There is a poll out, and I don't know if that was a Zogby or Rasmussen or whoever, but it was a poll.
You're going to say it, aren't you? You're going to make my head explode. Go ahead. I read it.
It was a poll about taxes, and what it said was, if I recall the numbers correctly, 48%. Of the American people think that their taxes are just about right.
Those now, are 48% that don't pay any, right?
Well, that was the first thing that popped into my head. I said, wait a minute. 48% think that their taxes are about right. A minimum of 40% of them don't pay any taxes whatsoever. And some subset of that 40% not only don't pay any taxes, they get money back that they never paid in. So that 48% number doesn't compute for me.
That wasn't the poll I was thinking you were going to say.
Aha! Okay! What was the poll you were thinking of?
The one that drove me crazy, and I'm pretty certain you saw it, was that... was it 34% said that capitalism was okay? 33% said that socialism was better?
Yep.
They're talking about youth. A third of the youth think that socialism is better?
Yep.
Okay. Now, this is absolutely, positively the result of an education system that is seriously screwed up.
Yes, indeed.
Because of... any moron thinks that socialism is better, please, I'll pay for the ticket. Pack your bags and get the hell out.
Yes. I mean, and we aren't even talking about ancient history. You can go back 100 years, and I will defy anybody, to show me a functioning country that is based on that premise. There aren't any. All of them have to have capitalists, if you will, that actually provide the largesse for the politicians to distribute.
Well,
you kill capitalism, and Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged is the best novel in terms of outlining that. What you get is a dysfunctional society that very rapidly breaks down and becomes non-functional and can't provide those benefits that the politicians promised.
It kind of goes back to... I lost it. No, don't press buttons when you should be paying attention.
That's what happens when you play with the control board.
Ayn Rand. The question I had, I had this a long time ago. We got 30 seconds. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well.
The question I had was, what country in the world could disappear tomorrow and the world would never notice it?
Well, I don't know what that country is, but I can guarantee you it is not the United States of America.
Right. Any other country in the world we could probably lose and survive.
Yep.
lose the United States, and we're in trouble.
Yes, we are.
Bill, have fun tomorrow.
Tracy, you too. Shout out to my conservative talk friends.
See you tomorrow. Next week.
Night.
I didn't even get to finish my thing.
Hey, we're done. Hey, we be done.
Yeah.
Ah, good show. God, that went a whole lot quicker than I thought it would. But then it always does. I'm not sure why, but it does.
Yeah. I've been popping back and forth on the Twitter, but all of a sudden I got on to the ACP website because I actually wanted to do cross-marketing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We ran out of time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. And, you know, that thing that TK said with about not being sanctioned.
Oh. Yep.
You know, it wasn't Charlie. It was Butch that said it. Did you read this?
No, I haven't. I haven't been on that site today.
It says, we appreciate your help with the viral web marketing, TK. You know the cease and desist was not a general cease and desist, and it wasn't madness. It came about by a real human being with real intellectual property, indicating that his property should be respected. It's been resolved, partially. You're aware of the issues. You're welcome to continue building membership through the countless websites you mentioned, as long as we're clear that these endeavors are not official. Hell, this blog isn't really official. The previous chairman runs a radio show that we link to, and it's not even official. As soon as we have anything official, we'll let you know. Now, I don't know what he thinks he means by official.
Me, well, I don't know that we've ever billed ourselves as the official voice, have we?
Well,
I mean, we have been kind of by default, but... But I don't think
we do say, and I'm pretty consistent about this, American Conservative Party Radio.
Yes, we do say that.
So, and given the fact that I was in fact chair, whether we said it was official or not, it was clear
that
it had
been imprimatur. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that it was about as official as it was going to be without, you know, blazing on the top, this is the American Conservative Party radio network. You know, now, I agree with him that there's probably nothing, quote, official.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, where does you know, the EC fit into things?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'm willing to give and this is tolerance.
Yeah, very good.
I am willing to give the EC a whole lot of latitude.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm willing to suggest that, you know, for myself, from my point of view, I'm not going to voice much in the way of opinions one way or the other about what the EC is doing. Certainly not in public.
Mm-hmm.
I have voiced my concerns to them in private on specific issues. Butch, you're going to get wind of this anyway, so I don't know if you're aware of it or not. Butch is putting together a board.
Oh. Okay.
And that board will have 8 members.
Okay.
think for a second who you might think those eight members would be.
Well, I would assume the exec committee. And I'm not sure about the other two. Unless you're suggesting that that's you and me.
His plan is the current executive committee.
Mm-hmm.
And minus one, Maurice has been activated.
Uh-huh.
He's shipping out in about a month.
Okay.
So they're down one.
Who are they going to bring on, you know?
They're facing the same problem we have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the old EC minus Jackie.
Say that again?
The four current EC members
uh-huh.
and the four previous EC members that are still active.
Hmm.
That's who he's going to make the grand board.
Well, I'm not sure he can do that under the interim agreement, but...
No, as a matter of fact. He can't.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, the IGA is very specific how that formation, how that board gets formed.
Right.
So,
that's a problem.
We are...
Or it could be a problem.
We are going to be discussing... He's calling a meeting for Sunday. You haven't heard about it yet, but it's coming.
Okay. Well, there's a meeting also tomorrow night.
Yeah, I am already set up for that. What started it all was they wanted to redirect the main site to a different domain.
Okay.
And I, you know, my basic answer was, well, yeah, but why?
Mm-hmm.
And he really, really wants me on the rules committee, and I have not agreed to any committee positions.
Hmm.
He really doesn't want me on any committee if he's smart. This is what he said. We will probably need a conference call with just the Great Eight next Sunday to finalize the details. But we are seriously considering formulating two new entities, a new nonprofit to eventually form the Party for Ballot Access and a separate PAC. The only question is where to form it. And the more I think about it, the more DC makes sense for a variety of reasons. But if we do it, we want to make sure that the board of directors is comprised of the eight plus one or minus one to make it an odd number with staggered terms with some clear paths for continuity.
Mm-hmm.
The PAC should have some similar board members, but also some advisor types that would have more of a background role in the party Our PR committee, me, Jason, and a couple others, are formulating plans to find these types. My first comment in regard to that was when location was discussed a year ago, DC was adamantly opposed as being too close to the fiery pits.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a strong opinion one way or the other, but did find an attorney in the D.C. area willing to work with us. One, she's connected on the board of the Heritage Foundation, and two, eager. Money was and is the issue. Being based there does give us some access and lower costs when dealing with movers and shakers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked, who or what constitutes the Great Eight? Remaining members of both ECs? I note Maurice's absence from the email list. So he noted what's going on with Maurice. He says, yes, the Great Eight is the two ECs minus Jackie and Maurice. So, and then he said, agreed on the DC thing. After our SDD conference on call on Thursday night, I'm happy to schedule another one for just the eight on Sunday night. And I said, I'm not aware of any meeting on Thursday. He said, well, I haven't posted it yet. And he did shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a quandary at this point in this regard. They're taking things in a direction that is, in what I would suggest, a historically well-trod path.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of going the way the Libertarian Party did, the Green Party did. I don't see any variation on a theme. That's the way those parties grew. They grew as national parties, and then started having chapters pop up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was not our intent.
Right.
Our intent was to build a little bit of a framework and then work at getting states up and running. This,
yep,
working on a PAC, working on, another corporation, this is all stuff that doesn't help the states. It's certainly not giving them lots of time to spend working on building up the states.
Exactly.
Now, that said, they've added a lot of new EDs.
Yep.
So maybe they can handle, the load at two different points of view. But I don't see any benefit to the states of dealing with a PAC. I don't see any benefit to the states of, redirecting the national organization in a way that cuts the states out of the process.
Right.
So here's my quandary. And it's a personal quandary. There are certain aspects of ACP that went in the direction I didn't want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much because it went those directions. I simply wouldn't let it go there.
Mm-hmm.
But those directions died out because I made a consistent effort to wither those vines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the fact that I wouldn't cut those vines turned off people. And bothered me a little bit, too. And it's the SOCOMs that I'm talking about.
Right.
Okay. There is less of a desire I think there's less of a desire Maybe I'm wrong. No, there's no indication to that. I was going to suggest that there's less of a desire to let those vines wither on the current EC but I see no indication whatsoever that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I've not seen any indication that they are trying to build those vines up at all.
Right.
It might be true in the background, and I'm not seeing it, but I'm not seeing it, so I'm not willing to suggest that it actually is occurring.
Right.
But they are definitely taking things in a direction that I would suggest is more historically consistent with how other parties are formed, but not in the direction that we originally designed this party to go in. Now, the question is, do I engage and try to yank them back? Or do I stand aside and let them take it off, go off in their direction?
Well, there may be a middle ground to that.
Enlightenment.
Well, look, you and I were in agreement that we wanted the states to be strong and the national to be weak.
Correct.
We want the states to run it.
Right.
And that's why the interim governance agreement was set up the way it was.
Right.
So, if we, that's the editorial we, if we say we need to slow the national down, we need to encourage it to direct its behavior to strengthening states and speed up that process of the state, the states comprising the governing board, that would be the middle ground of, do I participate or do I not? Because I think we could participate without fully signing on to, yeah, but your vision is the correct way to go. That's going to involve some long conversations. And it's going to be tough to make the argument that we think it's better to do this because, for whatever reasons, time, attention, whatever, he's got a whole lot more state EDs than we did. Big silence there.
I'm a manipulative bitch.
Well, so am I. I just do it nicer.
So the question I have is, how much manipulation is going on behind the scenes?
Don't know. Not only don't know, can't know.
I do know.
Well, you think you know.
No, actually, I know.
Okay. In that case, you've got a deep throat.
But it's not the kind of manipulation that I do.
Okay.
I've always been, as an adult, I certainly wasn't this way as a teenager. I've always been cognizant of the fact that I can be extremely manipulative, but at the same token, I try to be very, very conscious of the idea that the manipulation should benefit both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of remember something along the lines of a train engineer being commented about one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by a certain person I'm talking to. Someone felt a little railroaded.
Ah, okay. Okay. I wasn't connecting the how you phrased it with my railroading thing.
You know, it's... You know, I've tried to stay out of it as much as possible.
Yep.
Part because Butch needed to establish himself.
Yep.
And, you know, we needed to have a clean and clear changing of the guard.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, my high-profile involvement would be undercutting him even if I made zero attempt at doing so.
Yes.
So I made a conscious decision that I would step way the fuck back and not involve myself unless specifically asked in specific situations. I would evaluate them at the time, offer my opinion, comment, suggestions, and then back the way. I would not take that as an invitation to get involved.
Right.
I would take that as an invitation to voice my opinion about that particular subject and then go away again. And I've tried to do that. I'm not going to change. And that's kind of what I'm asking. Do I need to change that? Because the direction they're going is not the direction we originally set out. Any action on my part would be a direct challenge to Butch. I don't think he could take it any other way. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Well, okay, here's my problem with that. If Butch and the current EC is so fragile that they cannot tolerate, they cannot accept that there are differing views, then we aren't going to get any place anyway.
I don't know that there's enough. This is the thing. I don't know that there's enough. I'm not seeing a lot of dissent. And
no, but we might not see it either.
That's true. By taking the operation of the party off of the blog, that effectively killed most avenues of dissent.
Yep.
I don't particularly have a. You know, I understood that point. You know, I understood that to be what that was to do, because Butch was clear that he did not like airing our laundry out on the blog. And I had a different point of view about that altogether, and still do.
Well, as do I, because if you don't allow dissent, you are also not allowing discussion.
Right, and my position has been that. I've tried to be pretty clear about this. I have a very strong opinion. Debate me. Let's put it out here. Let everybody see both points of view. Let a consensus form around one or the other.
Yeah, or some synthesis between them.
And that was the method in which I decided we were going to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the most efficient way of doing things.
Nope.
But I think in the long run, what we did was we had everybody on board for the things we did.
Yes.
And nobody felt like they were being dragged along.
Or that they hadn't been heard.
Or they hadn't been heard. Or that the point of view hadn't been right. That a set of point of views set of point of views had been ignored or dismissed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, my concern is that absent that, you know, and I had to deal with the fact that that was a constant, you know, background noise to everything that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a naturally argumentative person anyway, so that's not that big of a deal for me.
Sure.
But most people can't tolerate argument very well.
That's true.
Especially if they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And we all think we're that.
No, I'm absolutely convinced that there are times when I'm not interested in doing the right thing.
I see. Screw okay.
Screw y'all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't happen very often. But I do decide. In any case. All right. So you will hear about this great eight.
Okay.
And I'm going to listen to what is said on the state conference call on Thursday. And then I'll see
Thursday?
What, which...
I thought it was tomorrow night. Maybe not. I'm not by my computer right this instant. Let me get there. Maybe it was the 16th. I'm juggling too many chats and too many different things here. Hang on. Let me
4:16, 8 p.m. Thursday. It's Thursday.
Okay, I'm still looking. 16th, 6 p.m. my time, 8 p.m. your time, and I already accepted that. Stories from the Tea Parties, updates on state development, quick ideas, how those state can be affected nationally. Okay. Yep. Oh, good. I was worried about how I was going to handle that on a cell phone. Now I don't have to.
Now you don't have to.
Yep. Well, okay. I'm, you know, listen and learn, I guess. That's fine.
And
although, this is one of those kind of times that, you know, yeah, there probably ought to be some discussion about it, as opposed, other than on spur of the moment.
Well, I'm opposed to the idea of a pact. Remember, I'm opposed to the idea of doing anything right now. Other than building up the states.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the deal. This is the kind of thing that I took off of it. If you want to do a PAC and then a corp to, you know, run as an umbrella over the states, then he should reform the corporation away from ACP.
I'm following that argument.
Well, my argument was that as long as we have party in the name, it suggests a specific plan, purpose, path. if we don't have party in the name, and they don't, the American Conservatives,
mm-hmm.
that gives them greater flexibility in what they can do.
Okay.
And if the states form 50 organizations, you know, in the process, then they can form the umbrella organization above themselves.
And bypass the party? I mean, is that what you're suggesting? Or
I'm suggesting that the party goes into suspended animation until such time as the states are ready for it.
Hmm.
And that, because what I see them doing with the idea of the pack and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
is to become a, and Charlie suggested this in the past,
mm-hmm.
you know, becoming a clearinghouse, becoming, you know, the think tank for the party, and, you know, let the party develop on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It has certain characteristics of what we wanted to do, but at the same token, it cuts loose this organization from being dictatorial to the states.
Mm-hmm. What do you know what the purpose of the PAC is?
No, I read exactly what he said to me.
Okay.
I'm assuming that there would be more information when we discuss things on Sunday, if in fact that's what occurs.
Yeah. Hmm. Well. Hmm.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
Do you know how many states we have at this point with EDs?
I think it's 8, but I'm not. Don't hold me to that number. With state EDs, and although frankly I'm not sure that they under the guidelines that they put in, I'm not sure that they're actual organizations at this point, and I don't think any of them qualify as affiliates under their terminology.
Well, let's say the ones he says in formation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11, including me. He's got 11 that says are in formation.
Hmm.
And there are 1, 2, 3 that just contact information. And that's you, Alan, and one other person,
mm.
where it's just contact for information.
Mm-hmm.
But he's treating you guys as EDs, so that's 14.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'm still not clear as to what he's intending with the pack.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Well, but I think it would be important to know.
That's pretty cool.
What is it?
Somebody that wants to get things going in Nevada.
Oh, all right.
Alexia Sober, 29, a woman that is determined. On her MySpace page, it says, "I am officially declaring my activation as an American conservative. From this point on, I will be proactive with my elected officials, as I am responsible for putting them in office, as they are responsible for abusing their powers. No one will provoke me with impunity."
Hmm.
Go, girl, go.
Yeah.
She's looking for info from, I wonder if she Twitters.
That'd be handy if she did.
What?
I said that would be handy if she did. I'm really liking Twitter in terms of being able to talk to people.
You do, eh?
I do.
She's got a bachelor's degree in anthropology and a minor in archaeology.
Well, how cool.
I dig that. I mean, she's not likely to be Christian.
Jeez. God.
I
know what.
Do you, I had a friend a long time ago when I was on a Episcopalian board, and I was, of course, catching lots of grief about a lot of different things, but
mm-hmm.
being agnostic and all. there was someone on there that was Buddhist and strongly suggested that I would make a great Buddhist.
Oh, yeah?
Who was an archaeologist by training and by career.
Hmm.
And did most of his digs in the Middle East.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Originally to be a archaeologist in support of Christianity.
Yeah.
He said it only took him 25 years of digging to realize that he'd never be ever again supporting Christianity.
Really?
And he said after 25 years of digs, it was an archaeology in the Middle East, it was clear that Christianity was the sole beneficiary of being in the right place at the right time.
Well, okay,
Anyways, we had a lot of interesting conversations, but his basic point of view was that you couldn't know the early history of man and be a Christian.
Well, that's an opinion.
That's an opinion.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep.
So, anyways, rather interesting that she's an archaeology student.
Mm-hmm.
Or a degree in that. Anyways, all right. So, we're done tonight.
Okay, get out.
Say hi to your missus for me.
I will do
I've
it.
I've been remiss in being polite and taking you up for more than a couple of hours at a time.
Nope, not a problem. Not a problem at all.
So we'll see what happens on Thursday and Sunday.
Yep.
I'm not planning or doing or instigating anything at this point.
Yeah. Yep. I'm at this point I'm kind of okay, let's see what gets said and we'll figure out what happens from that.
Have you gotten yourself organized into any of his committees?
Just the policy committee.
Okay.
It was supposed to be meeting every other week and hasn't, and the last policy thing that came out was a diktat and never ran through the policy committee, but oh well. I thought that was, in at least in some respects, was somewhat humorous. That was that whole, and we talked about it. That was
yeah.
that whole bit about the how the states are formed,
organized, and set up,
or whatever we're calling that now. And I just thought that was kind of really okay. Well, and here I thought that the policy committee actually did something. Silly me. But that's
yeah.
okay.
I've said this to you in the past. I really am not a fan of committees.
I tend not to be. My exception to that is when you need some place to put somebody. You can develop committees and put them there because you think that they're going to be useful later, and that lets them feel like they're participating.
Yeah.
Manipulative, I know, but oh well.
I saw that. TK.
Okay, Tracy. Have a good one. We will talk to you Thursday.
All right.
All righty.
Thanks, Bill.
Night now.
Bye.